It's
one level.
literally a 20-minute long game. You can play The Witcher for hours upon hours. You can log hundreds of hours on Final Fantasy. You can log 20 minutes on Home Alone for NES.
Yeah.
That's it.
I want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Yep, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Welcome back, everybody, to the SideQuest Podcast. This is Eric. We are here. It is Christmas Eve. Jingle jangle all the way. Welcome to the show. We got a couple fun main quests tonight. We're going to be talking about the top three debatable Christmas movies. We're going to talk about if we were Santa, how are we actually getting all the houses in one night? And we have a lot of other little holiday surprises and gems for you. So stick with us. As we jump into our first main quest, gentlemen, welcome to the show, Justin and Jeff. Ho, 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 are we feeling jolly this evening?
I mean, yeah, how could we not? I mean, the turkey is basting, the potatoes are roasting, it's Christmas Steve. I mean, Eve.
Christmas Steve. That could be a thing.
You're having turkey again on Christmas?
I think so.
You don't do lots of turkey. Turkey every damn day.
Yeah. Turkey Thanksgiving, turkey Christmas, all the fixins'. So, gentlemen, I want to know, there's a lot of movies out there that are very debatable when it comes to, is it a Christmas movie or is it not? So, we've put together the SideQuest Pod top three, our top three, and I want to know from you guys, I'm thinking we do a vote, and we talk about it a little bit, is this movie a ho-ho-ho, meaning it's a definitely a Christmas movie, or is it a no-no-no? And you have to say it three times. And so let's go ahead.
Just really quick, Eric, how late did you stay up thinking about that?
Oh my God, I woke up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. I'm like, write this down. Don't forget it. I came up out of a deep sleep for that. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, for you, we put in the extra hours. So let's go ahead and start with our very first debatable Christmas movie. And Justin, I'm going to kick it off to you. Which is Edward Scissorhands. Are we a ho-ho-ho or a no-no-no?
Do we have to explain ourselves or do we just ho or know it?
Let's ho it or know it and then explain yourself.
Ho it or know it.
T-shirt idea. Oh my gosh, I hate that you started with me with this movie, but I'm going to give it a ho-ho-ho. Why the hell not?
Okay.
Let's be holly jolly. It's a great movie as it is. Tim Burton captures a lot of Christmas essence and spirits, and I think it captivates the holiday season. I give it the ho ho ho, mother effers.
Okay, very very good. Just Jeff, what about you?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a no no no.
Ooh,
I don't really see it as a Christmas movie much. I don't. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it just never. Jumps to me as I didn't even know there's Christmas themes in it.
Oh, they're definitely there's snow. There's
I think of it, I think of oh, snow means Christmas. That's it.
It could.
Snow is 2 days a year, and the rest of it is no snow.
It's got it's like a very gothic Christmas type movie. I think. I mean, it's just one of those. Areas and genres that's just, you know, it's Tim Burton-esque, right? Like, he tends to have some of those Christmas themes in other movies as well. One of them is actually still on our list that is a mystery right now for you listeners. But if you think about it, like, what? The original Batman movie with Michael Keaton, that was kind of Christmassy, right?
I mean, I guess.
You're thinking of Batman Returns.
Oh, well, good enough. Batman Returns, Mr. Mr. Tim Burton. Still same thing, but I'm gonna disagree, Jeff. I'm gonna go with the ho ho ho. I feel like when I've seen this movie, I don't know what it is about it that kind of brings me the Christmas spirit. I think it's just like its oddity and weirdness and just I don't know. I guess maybe it is the snow. Maybe I'm just weird for snow, and that's something mm-hmm. you guys learned about me.
Little snow angel boy.
Little Snow Angel Boy. So we'll take that, you know, 2-1 there. We'll give that one a ho, ho, ho. Jeff outnumbered. But what do you guys think out there? Let us know about our good boy, Edward Scissorhands. He you know, he's doing the best he can. Second movie up, which I guess I'm not surprised, seeing as we already talked about Tim Burton for the entire episode so far. But second movie up, Jeff, I'm going to toss this one to you, is Nightmare Before Christmas, another Tim Burton classic.
Yeah, that's, you know, this one's always hard. I mean, I love it because it's got like one of the greatest Halloween songs. And as you know, we're huge Halloween buffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to say it's also a Christmas movie because that means I just get a little Halloween during Christmas, which the movie is trying to portray anyway. So this one's hard. I think it's just a little bit of both.
Oh.
It's a little bit of Halloween. It's a little bit of Christmas.
So like a ho, no ho.
Just a ho.
Just the one ho. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I'll go next. I guess this is where, just like you, Jeff, I'm kind of on the teeter-totter because...
Teeter-tarter.
Teeter-tarter. Tater-tots.
Get this man some fish sauce.
Because I love it in both categories. But if I had to choose and let one bad kid fall off the cliff, like Macaulay Culkin, I would say no, no, no. I like it more as a Halloween movie and a Halloween time movie as opposed to Christmas. I mean, it does have the Christmas spirit, and it does also have some of that festivity that I look for. But... it is one of my go-to Halloween movies, and it's safe to say that it typically stays on the shelf until next Halloween. So I'm not a double dipper here. I'm going to go with no. Justin, where are you at on this one?
Yeah, I agree with you both completely. I view it more as a Halloween movie. It is Christmas themed, but I think it's more appropriate in October. So no, no, no.
Ooh. All right, well, nose all around. And I wonder if that's something, quick side quest really quick. You know, Tim Burton is a great director, and I wonder, you know, what he thinks of it. I don't know if he's ever voted on his own movies, but do you think he's just, like, caught in between some of these seasons? Like, are some of his movies Christmas over non-Christmas movies, you know, if you think about it? Like, if you were to put him in a category besides, obviously, the very strange, weird, cool, artistic-type director that he is, you know, are there any other movies that come to mind that, you know, are kind of in this category of his? Just putting you both on the top spot there.
Just the big old top spot. Oh, you know, Dumbo.
Just Dumbo? In what way? It's a kid's movie versus a, I don't even know what.
Great Christmas movie.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Planet of the Apes also hits that itch.
Ooh, I kind of forgot about his... Oh, my God, Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that's just Christmas, if there ever was one.
But yeah, it's always a treat when Mark Wahlberg's in the movie, just very confused, and, you know, then the spoiler at the end happens. And, whoa, what? Who's... where's Donnie? You know? He doesn't know. So
that's a good one. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is a great 4th of July movie.
Ooh, good list. I like that. Okay. Tim Burton, he's a good boy. I don't know. He just strikes me as he's already got two out of the top three on our list, and I think we'll find out in just a moment who is in first place. But, gentlemen, I think this is the one that a lot of listeners have been waiting for. I think this is one of those more, from a difficulty standpoint. Wow, I'm on all cylinders today. How many t-shirts do we have so far? It's only been 10 minutes. But
get off the toilet.
This big bad boy of a movie is probably one of the most highly debatable Christmas versus not movies in the world. And that is none other than Mr. John McClane, Bruce Willis in Die Hard. I feel like the camps are very split in terms of society and where people stand. So, you know, is it an action movie with Bruce Willis and just very exciting popcorn stuff? Or is it something that should and always be played around the holidays and seen as such? So, Justin, I'm going to toss this one over to you first.
Very fair. I'm just going to come right out of the gate. I'm going to pull my pants down. I'm going to give it the no, no, no.
Oh.
And for two reasons, and I'm not saying that it's not watchable during the holiday season, because it definitely is. And if that's your jam and you want to watch some Die Hard come Christmas time or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Festivus, by all means, I'm not going to tell you no. But if you take the same exact plot, the same exact movie, the same exact characters and everything about it, and make it a 4th of July movie instead of a Christmas movie, does it change anything about the mechanics behind the overall film? It's the same movie. It doesn't matter when it takes place. No, 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 not a Christmas movie.
Okay, fair enough. Jeff, where do you stand on the scale?
It's a ho, ho, ho. It's the epitome of a Christmas movie.
Literally, it's not.
YouTube even labels it as a Christmas movie. And I think Peacock and Amazon have put it under holiday treats.
It's wrong.
Wait, did you say YouTube listed it as a Christmas movie?
Yeah. I even have a photo. I took a screenshot of it before we even started the podcast.
Okay, so millions of Germans and Hitler labeled people a certain thing, too. That doesn't make them right.
Did you just compare? YouTube saying that Die Hard is a Christmas movie to the Holocaust?
A little bit, yeah. This is where this episode's going.
Yeah, this is end of the year, almost the last episode of the year. All the gloves are coming off. We're either getting all of our listeners or none of them, Jeff.
I told you I took my pants off, so you're dealing with it.
But Jeff, what makes it in your eyes, you know, like what parts of the movie would you, is it because it does take place around the holiday season?
It's the whole thing. They're all there because of a holiday party.
Yeah.
And they're all drunk, so they all don't fully know what's happening. It's less security guards going on. Everyone's trying to get out of town. It's the perfect time for these guys to come in to this building.
It could be an Easter party.
No one has Easter parties like Christmas parties. Christmas parties are notorious in companies of getting completely hammered. And even like door people and security, it's like half staff, it's skeleton crew. They're sneaking booze too. They're like, I can't wait to get off so I can get home to my family. I mean, that's John McClane's whole thing. He's just trying to get home for the holidays. Why is he trying to get, you know, back so quickly? He's going to this holiday party. I mean, you could say Jingle All the Way is not just a Christmas movie. You could just be like, oh, it's, you know, it's Xbox One S is releasing on Friday, and it's just Arnold trying to get it for his son's birthday, and everyone's running to Walmarts and GameStops to get it.
I mean, Walmarts and GameStops.
Yeah, that's where you get the Xbox One.
That's where it,
Eric,
that's where
wait,
get it.
Chime in.
All right.
We're house divided so, right now. We need a tiebreaker.
So I have to agree with Justin on this one. I'm going to go no, no, no. And here's the thing. I got to preface it by saying that every single time I've seen this movie, it was never around or near Christmas time. It was always like spring, summer, fall. Basically, every other season I've seen this movie except for Christmas time. And I just never put two and two together until people started, you know, I know growing up people kind of questioned it, or people at school, or, you know, it's come on other radio shows or TV shows where it's like, is Die Hard a movie, a Christmas movie? And I just never watched it through that lens. So it's hard to go back after all these years of watching it and say, like, you know what? Every Christmas time I want to put on Die Hard. Now, I'm still a no, no, no. I think there are very limited good action movies to watch around Christmas time that could help with that holiday, you know, kind of get your hands in both those cookie jars. So I want something that's kind of Christmas and something that's mostly action or whatever it is. I feel like it does probably quench the thirst of that appetite. But I'm still a no, no, no. I still like it outside of the holiday season.
I mean, the entire reason for the movie is the Christmas party. All his children want is just their dad to be home for Christmas. You know, the whole end of the movie is this, they're realizing the importance of family, and he's kind of back with his ex-wife. I forget if they were married or not. It even ends with a classic Christmas song.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get it. Definitely not dismissing that. I'm just thinking, like, when I think of the classics I would like to watch in December, you know, the list is only so long, and you have only so much time in the month. Like, Die Hard doesn't typically make that list for me, where it probably does for you, Jeff. You know, like, I'm definitely, it's definitely got some Christmas theme in there. But when it comes down to, let's compare it to, you know, is it a Christmas movie like, you know, it's a different genre, but like, you know, Christmas movie like I picture Christmas Vacation. No. But it's around Christmas time. I still just can't see it. It's not going to be on my list for Christmas. So a house divided has, what's the, I don't even know the fucking phrase, but we, I'm sure our listeners out there are probably very heavily divided. I'm sure a lot of them, Jeff, are agreeing with you out there. It is definitely a Christmas movie. Maybe some folks are in camp, Justin and Eric over here.
Can a Christmas movie have an action movie? Can't we, does it all have to just be National Lampoon Christmas or Scrooge and stuff? Can't you have one action movie? I mean, is Hawkeye a Christmas TV show?
Yeah.
Really pushing for it. The music, it takes place during Christmas. It's Christmas decorations, but it's action. So no way. Christmas can only be comedy.
Oh, you are just minimizing every point that we made.
Batman Returns, well, though, like that is, I think that takes place, what, on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Like that, yeah, I would action, say.
So it's definitely not a Christmas movie.
I would say that's more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard.
Wow, give me five examples.
They got presents in the tree, and
presents all over Die Hard,
and it's more exciting.
Even steps on the one with glass. All right, continue. That's one. So there has to be presents. So Die Hard has that. What's your four others?
I would also say that not many Christmas movies are in the R-rated category either. I feel like that kind of takes a little bit of the Christmas spirit out of it. A little bit too naughty instead of nice.
Right. What does that even
mean? Any sense?
I still, it's just, I don't think you'll be able to convince me that it is a Christmas movie. I just,
there's three others of why the Batman is. You've given me one in this weird half answer of R rating.
It's more exciting. It's definitely a little bit more around the Christmas time, and it's more of a themed
Christmas Eve.
Tim Burton does a lot better job with the Christmas theming as opposed to Die Hard. Yeah, there's a tree in the lobby and some gifts under it. Cool. But everywhere else in the movie, was there a little bit of snow and like a garland somewhere? Outside of that, that's it. You get the lobby and the little Christmas part in the beginning. That's like, I don't even know what other movies
are trying to
like
get
that.
Home for Christmas to be with his family and his, you know, he's the single cop. He's bringing the teddy bear. Everyone's there for Christmas. There's lights up. But, you know, Batman has more presents.
And snow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the movie does take place in Los Angeles. So does Los Angeles not celebrate Christmas because there's no snow? I mean, hell, we haven't had snow in Chicago for how many years?
Not go Tommy.
Continues. So you need snow for Christmas. So I didn't know that. That's a new one.
Yeah. Just not a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Can't tell you.
All right. Moving on.
let everybody else know out there what you think. Let Jeff know if he sounds right. Let us know if we sound right. So moving on to what we can all agree is a Christmas movie. We got a retro game coming up. Can you take a guess?
Let's go.
This game is easily the worst game ever invented. It didn't make any sense. There was really no instructions that came with the booklet. I never beat it. I think it was a waste of a Blockbuster rental, and I was very upset with myself. Without further ado, I would like to thank the lovely movie Home Alone for making that wonderful NES game where you just try to stay alive and get away from the wet bandits in the house. And there was really no, again, clear directive of what to do, how to do it. I don't even know if there was a timer on the screen that let you know, like, you're supposed to survive 20 minutes. So
there was a timer.
Was there?
And I think my best time was, like, surviving, like, 5 minutes. Because this game is I don't know if the angry video game nerd has done this game.
He has, and with Macaulay Culkin.
Oh my god,
that is so awesome. We'll share it.
Yeah, please go and check that out. Just give that guy. He got 25 million a view on everything he does.
But are we all in agreement that this game was not very good? Did anybody like this game?
Love it.
Yeah, loved it. Just always wanted to play it because I just wanted to go out the window into the treehouse.
That was it. That was the only fun part. I remember the pictures and the paintings and the little coming in through the window. But this was just one of those games that if you out there know what we're talking about and you don't have to Google it, you know the frustration you had about trying to get away from these guys. And all of a sudden they would speed up. They were incredibly difficult to get away from. And I understand the purpose behind it. Like, you're supposed to win the game and that's how to do it. But man, I just, when I looked at the Wikipedia page, realizing that people actually probably paid for this game, and who knows how much, probably 30, 40 bucks at the time. One of the mega tech at the time reviewers said, "This is grotesquely overpriced and pathetically underdeveloped mockery of a game." It was just like the perfect little treat of me reading it, because it's exactly what I thought. I'm like, wow, we went to Blockbuster and probably paid like $5, $6, $7 for it at the time to rent it for a week. And you sit there and try to survive for 20 minutes and then it's game over. There is no other level. That was it. Like, you just survived the one house and then you pass the controller to whoever else wants to experience it.
And there's no continues. There's no bonus. There's no nothing. It's just, this is literally, it's like, at least in Oregon Trail, you can put in a password and you can name your people and you can do all sorts of fun stuff and die of distant. No, not in this one. You just get fondled by freaking adults and then game over after 3 minutes.
Yeah, but you can set traps and they fall down for 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love this game. I disagree with you saying that it's like this, Eric, like this just horror. It's so challenging that it's so perfect. It's almost brilliant.
It's a very odd game in the fact that, like, even if there was a second level, I wouldn't know that it existed because I never survived more than 20 minutes.
I think it's just one level.
It's
just the one.
It's one
level. It's literally a 20-minute long game. You can play The Witcher for hours upon hours. You can log hundreds of hours on Final Fantasy. You can log 20 minutes on Home Alone for NES. Yeah. That's it.
And I suppose if it has anything going for it, this game was released in 1991, which, I mean, that is very early in the gaming world, especially Nintendo.
No, it's not.
Well, if you think about it.
The 70s? That was 91 is.
Well, in terms of the NES, like, when did that come out? Like in
85?
Yeah. Oh, God. 91. Well, I don't know what I'm talking about then. I just thought, like, for some reason, if you think about other games compared to 1991, like, what did we have? We probably had some Zelda games already. We probably had at least, what, two Super Mario Brothers?
You have The Legend of Zelda.
Castlevania.
You already have Mega Man 4 at this point. So the great Mega Man 2 came before Home Alone.
Okay. And you know, you know the best part about this? Is that one, the main developer of this for the NES was none other than Bethesda. So if it gives you any hope out there, people that are making shitty apps or games out there, there's hope for you in the future. You know, don't let it be the end-all be-all. But it was just, to me, it was just such a big disappointment because you see the movie, you get excited, now it's the video game. And I can only imagine, I haven't looked at it in a long time, but what was like the video game trailer for this game? Like, what could they even show? You know, was it just Macaulay Culkin run around and then like a quick snippet of, you know, sliding down the
thing? They didn't really advertise games then the way they do now. It was mainly in magazines with those little like screenshots of the game and like a really shitty description. And that's what you had. You couldn't go on YouTube. You couldn't watch Let's Play. You couldn't, there was no IGN. There was nothing. It was a catalog.
Ugh. God, it's so bad.
Remember the Funko Land pricing catalogs with, oh, your game's worth $3. This one's worth $70.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it had the whole Matrix.
Oh, my gosh.
So
I forgot about that until right now. That's just an internal side quest that I'm going through.
I like that. Well, everybody out there, do yourselves a favor. You know you have 20 minutes to waste every day, at least. So go do yourselves a favor. Check out what we're talking about. Home Alone for the NES. Yes. You can. I mean, the best news is you can watch the speed run, and it only lasts like 20, 21 minutes, because that's all there is to it.
And just because it takes place during the Christmas holiday season does not mean that it's a Christmas video game.
No, absolutely not. It's
about robbers. It's a game about
it's a lot
a
deeper.
Child being robbed.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with Christmas and presents and snow. And ice skating and Christmas trees and ornaments.
But it primarily takes place inside.
Yeah.
So that is a big notch off to a Christmas movie. If it's inside,
it's very
really
true.
Cool.
Very
so
true.
So is it an action movie by any stretch of the imagination, or is it just a comedy?
There's a flame part where one of the robbers gets, Joe Pesci gets the flame on his head. So that was...
Comedy action. Easily. Comedy action at its best.
Well, I think the stakes are higher than Die Hard.
They are so much higher. We can't even get high enough, can we? Oh! What's that? It's our next main quest! There it is! I want to know, gentlemen, let's get real here. Let's get back to the holidays. Let's get back to the man who is making this happen each time a year. I want to talk Santa, Mr. Santa Claus. And realistically, if you guys were taking on the big red coat and the hat, how are you getting to all houses in one night? I want to know, with all of the movies, the technology, the gaming, the sci-fi, expand your mind a little bit. How are you getting to all the houses in one night? I just want to know, when you're delivering presents down the chimneys, in through the air vents, however you do it, you sneak in underneath the ring detector. What sci-fi movie, game, or technology are you using to get into each house every night? All in one night, too. I mean, this is Christmas night. So, Jeff, I'm going to toss this one over to you. How are you delivering all the presents?
Well, first, you just get the time stone. So you can just stop time there. And then you get a bunch of Mr. Meatsies.
Oh, God.
And then you just kind of flood the world with them, and then they eventually just poof.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
You have enough time now, and you just send out millions of them.
Okay.
And then if you send them out to the different countries by using Strange's, you know, little portal that he circles. All right, you're in Africa. Now just populate Meatskis. Go.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. We'll allow it. Justin, what are you going to do? How are you doing all this?
Oh, thank you. I've got two answers. With The Matrix coming out this week, let's talk a little Keanu Reeves, A Scanner Darkly, Philip K. Dick's novel. Let's just do a bunch of drugs and sit down on the couch and just let it all happen to us.
Oh, okay. I like that.
I imagine there's a Christmas episode of A Scanner Darkly where they're just, he is Santa Claus and Robert Downey Jr. is just shooting guns. And it's just like, we just delivered 65 billion presents to everyone in the world. And they're just like, and they wake up and they're just like, let's drink some coffee.
Hey, you're about to do a fart noise.
No.
There we go. Got it.
But so then my other answer is I would definitely think that Nightcrawler from the X-Men verse would be a great Santa Claus, and he can just bamf from house to house and just, there it goes.
Damn you, Justin.
Did I steal from you?
But mine's a combo. So I gotta throw it out there that I'm so glad you said that, because mine would be a combination of like Silver Surfer, Nightcrawler, and Quicksilver to just get the job done. All the Silvers, all the Quicks, all the Crawlers.
Mm.
Because if you think about it, they just surf, they get on the surfboard. Nightcrawler's just going to each house. You know, Quicksilver's maybe taking the low ground, Nightcrawler's taking the high ground. And I think they could do it all in one night. I mean, they're so quick, they're so fast to be able to do it. They could sneak in, sneak out. And I think Silver Surfer, correct me if I'm wrong, he can just like go through shit like walls and cement and like nothing phases him. So he could kind of close out those, you know, fortresses, the Russia houses. I don't know what they have over there, but I'm assuming it's some kind of, you know, castle type house. But yeah, I think we could do it with some superheroes. And, you know, I was also trying to think of like, yeah, I don't know, like high speed spaceships and stuff. But if you think about it, what, you got to pause and go every 2 seconds when you're like neighbor to neighbor, door to door. Like that would be really fucking annoying. But Jeff, I don't know, man. I liked mine. I like Justin's, but I got to vote for you with the time stone and the Meeksies. Like that is very clever. I like that one.
Yeah. You just gotta, gotta stop time.
Just gotta stop. God, it would be so, that would be a really, really fucking loud Christmas Eve. Well, hey, I'm Mr. Macy's. Oh, it just the oh my god, it would be a fucking nightmare. But then they all disappear. That would be great.
Yeah. What if? Just really quickly, maybe this is a side quest. Maybe this is a. I took a bunch of nuke from RoboCop 3, and I'm in Scanner Darkly thought process. But what if Multiplicity was a Christmas movie?
Oh.
And you have a million Michael Keatons delivering presents to a million children across the world.
Oh my god. I hope most of them are Steve.
Steve.
I want the pizza, Steve. Oh my god. That would be amazing. And then you try to find out which one's the right one, you know, and then you get a little lump of gold from Jeff if you win. That would be fun. If he was all in all of his characters too. Oh my god. Yeah, I could go with that. I missed that movie. There we go. That was such a good movie. We need more Multiplicity.
Not a Christmas movie.
No, it might be though, because I think there was one flake of snow, so that definitely is a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
No, right, I Jeff? Mean,
that was Dan.
I think the only Mad Max is a great Christmas.
Oh God! Wait, Jeff, what is that? Do you see that coming out of the sky? Well, this is new. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we just had a spaceship land here in our backyard, and now we see the doors opening. Oh my god, is that Palindrome Jedi? Hello! What are you doing here? Oh my
god.
Well,
I believe she's on.
Oh my goodness, is that one of those force fields around your head so that you can't communicate with us Earthlings?
Apologies.
Oh, hey.
It's really the black bolt, and she came through. Boom.
I knew spaceships had a mute button. Damn them.
You know, I was driving my Millennium Falcon around trying to find a good spot to pull over so I could put on one of those reindeer noses and antlers on the outside of it, and I smelled something, and I was like, I think that's a SideQuest podcast, so I wanted to stop by.
Wow. Well, we appreciate you stopping by. This is quite a surprise. Thanks so much. And like, I guess Merry Christmas. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas.
And to all a big boner.
So we,
I don't want one of those.
Nobody does.
On my person.
Well, I noticed you got a Santa's sack going on. What might you have inside and in store for us?
So, 'tis the season to watch Christmas episodes, since we have all these streaming options now, right? Have you guys been watching The Office Christmas episodes?
Yeah, oh, of course. Hell yeah.
So good. So, I thought we could talk about that, but to start off, I have a little trivia question game for you guys.
Ooh.
About those episodes, and whoever wins gets a little special prize.
Ooh, is that an iPad mini?
No, there was not a $400 limit, sorry.
Michael.
So, are we ready?
Let's do it.
So number one, what karaoke song does Kevin sing in A Benihana Christmas?
Oh my god.
I know the answer to this, but I'm going to let the other two goofuses try to mangle their way through it.
Oh my god. It's on like the tip of my tongue. I can see him singing it there. I don't know. Jeff, do you know this one?
It's you.
Oh, he is so searching it right now. That's so cheating. Justin, you got to answer this one.
Candy over there. It's Alanis Morissette. You ought to know.
Oh! That's so...
That is right.
Ah, damn it. All right. 0-1.
All right, Justin, you got it so far.
Hey.
So number two. In the season 6 Christmas episode called Secret Santa, Michael is dressed as Jesus and wants David Wallace to guess who he is. What is one of the three hints he gives David?
I'm the boy that walks on water.
I walk out of water.
He has the power of flight.
Power of flight. Yep.
Power of flight.
The other two are his last name is Christ, and he can heal leopards.
Oh my God!
All right.
Point to Jeff.
Point to Jeff.
Eric, the pressure is on. If you get this last one, you're all gonna win. So.
All right.
Number three. In Moroccan Christmas, Dwight buys up all the princess unicorn dolls so he can make a profit from desperate parents doing last-minute Christmas shopping. What is the princess unicorn jingle?
Oh, God.
My horn can pierce the sky.
Yay.
Oh.
Come on, guys.
Damn it.
I thought you both said you were watching these obsessively nonstop instead of sleeping or pooping.
I was pretty much right on the Jesus part.
I have such a terrible memory.
When Kevin sits on him, and then you could see Kelly laughing out of character because apparently that scene they had to refilm like multiple times. The cast kept like dying laughing.
And Michael asking Ryan to sit on him and says, I need this.
That's
one of my favorite ones of the Christmas ones.
That
was a good episode.
They're so hard to if you guys had to tally them all up, like, what would be your favorite Office Christmas episode? And Paldrum Jedi, I want to pass that one over to you for being our very special spaceship guest today.
Spaceship guest. Oh, that's a tough question. I'd probably have to say the one from season 2, which is where they do the Yankee swap. And it's the first Christmas episode of the whole series with the iPod and with, you know, the whole Secret Santa gone wrong.
I like that. Love that. All right, Justin, throwing that one over to you.
My gut says to agree, but just for the hell of conversation, I'm going to pick a different one. I like the Christmas episode with Robert California, where he throws down a little bit, and it seems like he's going to boink Erin, but she couldn't handle that ride.
Oh, my God.
Or that jumpsuit he had on.
Well, it's Christmas time.
Jeff, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with The Office, the Secret Santa, where he plays Jesus and Phyllis plays the actual Santa Claus, and Michael loses his shit. And then he has that whole little meeting where he talks about everyone's religion. And then he starts talking about a gopher or like some porcupine thing. And then the whole, I don't know if you remember that. It's just, clearly they just filmed and they're like, all right, Steve Carell's just on a roll, just film whatever he says.
Don't then, make me get Bob Vance.
And then the whole Kevin sitting Michael is probably one of the funniest segments in all of Office. It's just, you could see people in the background trying not to laugh because it's so absurd.
I love those moments. I wonder if that was improvised. I love their reactions when they're actually not expecting something.
But it also has a really good ending because they find out it's getting sold and then they get Davis Wallace on. He's like, no, you guys are like the only things that are working. So you guys are fine. And then they're all like, yay. And then they, you know, kind of really enjoy the end of the party. So I always like that episode.
Yeah.
Good one.
That's a good one. This one was tough to pick because there's a lot of good ones, but I enjoyed the one of the season 9, the Dwight Christmas, as they call it. But obviously I miss, you know, it's tough, the ones without Michael, you know? So if I had to go back, I think the Benihana Christmas is a classic. I can't believe I forgot the karaoke episode, but I feel like some of their earlier seasons, they did a really good job. It's just so funny. Just a little like setup that they did, and Ed Helms is there, and just, I don't know, Dwight Christmas probably going through his whole like German, whatever he does, the German Christmas character.
Belschnickel.
Yeah. Was great. And then Toby actually landing a kiss with what's her name? Nellie. God, what was that? Like, I don't want to wish anything good with Toby, and he got a kiss. So it was just one of those memorable moments that, you know, The Office is so good at their writing, but at the end of it, it's like, where did that relationship ever go? But yeah, no, Benihana Christmas, Dwight Christmas, anything without Michael, I'm not a big fan of, even though, you know, I know, what was it, like season 8 was like the first one with the Christmas wishes, you know, without Michael, and I don't know. It just makes me miss him. I hate getting to those later seasons. I don't know about you guys. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's hard.
I like the relationship between Dwight and Jim kind of become friends those last two seasons. Or they realize they were always friends to begin with. I always like when they're both on together.
Young Jim.
It's hard to get through those episodes without Michael, but they do a good job. Like the Dwight Christmas. We got a Dwight Christmas. It made everyone happy. Like just like the people in the office, us audience people were also like, yes, what is this going to be like? And it was amazing.
Yeah. Such a good one. Do you guys ever think they're going to try to revive this thing? Like it had so much going for it.
I've got an idea.
Oh yeah, let's go for it.
Bear with me, and I know NBC, you're listening, obviously. You are frequent listeners, but an Office revival, because if you remember at the end of last season, Kevin gets fired and he opens the bar.
Yep.
Right? So the series is like Cheers, and it all takes place at Kevin's bar. And different characters from the original Office series pop in as guests.
I like that.
Is it called Thank you. Poor Richards? Is that the name of the show?
I love Poor Richards. Done deal.
Where would everybody be now? Who would be like the first couple patrons to walk in that bar?
Dwight.
Dwight, for Toby. Sure. Oh God, Toby would be there daily. I feel like
Toby. He would be a norm. He'd be a regular.
Just talking about his day, just like Eeyore, just moping in the corner. Just the worst shit happens to him. Like there's a stick up, and they only rob him, and then they leave.
And they take his pants.
So good. Oh my goodness. But I mean,
that's an episode.
But they could, like, at some point, Jeff, you were a pretty strong, hard no at that point. You think they should just leave it alone, like, never touch it again? Like, this is one of their biggest IPs that they've had in a long time, I think. NBC, yeah, at least.
It's done. It made its mark. I mean, do you want to go and redo Friends or Seinfeld? I mean, there's some shows and movies, just don't touch it.
Yeah.
There's no need.
You know, at some point, though, that like their kids are going to grow up and all of a sudden it's going to be like, you know, the Gen Z Office or some bullshit.
Yeah. And it'll get, you know, one season everyone makes fun of it, and it'll be canceled by Netflix.
In boardrooms and virtual meetings.
Girl Meets World.
Only streaming on Peacock, you know, and Peacock. Well, Palindrome Jedi, we appreciate you gracing us with your presence and presence. And I don't know, what was the prize? Did Justin win a prize?
Justin has won, yes. The prize Ooh. Is he gets to decide what the noise is at the end of your episode.
Oh, that's such a good prize.
Oh, yeah.
That's such a good prize. Well, Palindrome Jedi, we appreciate you gracing us with your presence. We hope you have a Merry Christmas, and thanks for delivering a very fun gift to us today. And we will hope to see you in the future.
Yep, Merry Christmas. I'm going to hop back on my shit now.
All right.
Yeah, Ish. Careful. That costs a lot of Ooh. Money. Han and Chewie aren't cheap.
Oh, boy.
No, they're not. Bye, guys.
Whoa. Well, that was a fun little treat. A little treats of pizza. Man. I was not expecting that, so I'm glad. Thank you so much, Palindrome Jedi, for joining us. That was a lot of fun. And gentlemen, one final main quest as we go into Christmas time is, I just want to know, what is your one Christmas wish this year? Jeff, I want to start with you.
One Christmas wish.
Is it going to be like a good one, like a he don't want me man moment, or is it just going to be like a, you know, not to rip ass in the middle of church?
I mean, you guys ever watch SNL? Obviously.
No, never. What is used what to. Tell us
there? I love Steve Martin's.
So
if he had one wish that he could possibly wish this holiday season would be for all the children of the world to join hands and sing together in the spirit and harmony and peace.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. We will wish that. Justin, you have one Christmas wish. Oh, there's a shooting star. Don't be late. What is it?
It's for a Turbo Man doll.
Oh, love that. I didn't even think of a... My Christmas wish, because we record ahead of time, is that Spider-Man and the Matrix don't suck and that they actually do good for this world. And, pizza and peace and joy and all the boys and girls, kumbaya. So if you could put all that together into one little wish and throw it into a well, that's what I want. So movies that don't suck and, happiness and joy and all that fun stuff. And for all of our listeners out there to have a Merry Christmas. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We hope you had an awesome time. I know it's almost the end of the year. We got one more episode left, which is our very special New Year's Eve episode. So we hope you join us and we'll have some exciting topics. And we hope you get everything you want for Christmas. If you don't, write Jeff some hate mail, and we will read it live on the air. So thanks so much for joining us, everybody. And Hal, Justin, since you're the big winner there, what do you choose to end this bad boy?
Good one.
I want to hear Jeff, as a six-year-old, opening a present of which he did not want.
Okay. We'll do that. And then I have one for all three of us.
Nice.
All right. It's Christmas. Okay. So I'm opening a gift I didn't want.
Yep. And you're very angry. You're angry. You're Stewie Griffin angry.
Ah, shucks.
Oh, boy. Keep it PG there. What? what's ours?
That will get you the ring hand in my house. Oh. And shucks. Nobody says that.
Shucks golly.
All right, what do we got?
All right, we got me as Santa flying down the road, and Grandma got run over by a reindeer. I'm coming in to deliver presents. Justin is the grandma who gets run over and killed. And Eric is the bystander who sings the song later and is screaming at the horrible, gruesome display of what just happened.
Oh, my God. Wow, that was a lot to take in, but...
Quite the tableau you painted there. We'll, let's do this.
We'll follow your lead, Jeff.
So I'm flying down. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, shit!
Oh, damn! My hip and my... Now I'm dead.
Oh, my God! Grandma just got ran over by a reindeer. Something on Christmas Eve. Oh, I can sing.
Grandma got hit.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Oh, Zion's Christmas here.
The gate
oh!
when you die.
Did she fart at the end?
Yeah.
Death always ends with a fart.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Ho, hoes, hoes. No hoes, no hoes.